Ulkert. Episode 76. Greg Holst, Puls 24, NHL-Experte.
The referees call less. The hits are tougher. You have less room. Hate's the wrong word, but the rivalries get intensified. They do not like each other. And you understand it. You get into overtime. It's not 3-on-3. You're playing till somebody scores a goal. It could be 3, 4, 5 overtimes. And you got to win 4 games. And the longer the series go, they know it gets more emotional. And when you lose 4, you're going home.
Die Tribüne erhebt sich. Und der Hexenkessel kocht. Da bleibt kein Moment, um einmal durchzuatmen. Bring it on. Mit dem Vorteil. Abgefälscht und die Scheibe im Tor. Aus dem Nichts. Wie schön war das gemacht.
Unibet Hockey. O'Clock. This has to be one of the best times for sports of the entire year. We've just concluded the NFL draft. We had a highly anticipated NHL regular season end in some drama. Now it's time for the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're having championships awarded left and right, not only in the Ice Hockey League or in other European leagues. But now this is about the big one. And this is also the case where we have a very special preview episode of Unibet Hockey O'Clock about the Stanley Cup playoffs that will start this upcoming Monday, actually today as this episode airs, which is why we're putting this out 2 days earlier than normal. Needless to say, we needed an expert to analyze all the 8 series that are gonna entertain us the next couple of weeks. It's none other than Puls 24 National Hockey League pundit and expert Greg Holst. Coach, so thankful that you're taking the time talking Stanley Cup playoffs.
Martin, happy to join you. This is an exciting time of the year.
If someone's never watched the Stanley Cup playoffs, why is 2022 a good year to start doing so?
Well, a good year. Let's look in the East itself. 8 teams over 100 points, the first time in the history. And I think 13 total have over 100 points. So a lot of great teams coming in, and there's so many factors that go into it. It's going to be very close, and there could be a Cinderella story like there was a couple of years ago for St. Louis. We will see, and it starts tomorrow.
Now, obviously, we're recording this on a Sunday. Puck goes out on a Monday. First games will happen Monday to Tuesday European or Central European time. We're going to do this in English, because most of the Unibet Hockey O'Clock listeners are able to understand English anyways. And we do have an international audience. One might not believe it, but obviously we want to make people or make as many people listen to it as possible, even though there's only one day worth of time to listen to this until the first games get started. So whenever you get to it, some of the information that we just discussed might have already been outdated. Remains to be seen. But if you're interested in only a couple of specific series that we're talking about, because we're tackling them from seeding list, gonna go from the first seed in the East to the first seed in the West, and so on and so on. If you're only interested in a couple of series, just check out the show notes of this podcast and you will learn where your team is and where you can listen to, let's say, the Flames and the Stars, if that's the only series that you're interested in. Coach, we've set up a structure. We're going to talk a little bit about the series in general. You're going to make the cases for both teams, why they could be winning the series. Then we're going to hear about the goaltending situation in each and every series from the other Puls 24 expert, Reinhard Dievis. And at the very end, you're going to give me your personal X factor for a series. And then we're going to pick, or then I'm going to make you pick. And I know that's not the nicest challenge, but you're the expert. You have to make a pick, and we'll see how this one turns out. We're going to start in the East. We're going to start with the President's Trophy winning Florida Panthers, best team in the National Hockey League as regards to points. They're going to face the Washington Capitals, a first ever playoff series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Make the case for Florida.
Well, I'll make the case for Florida. 13-game winning streak. They're 14-3 in their last 17. Around 4.15 goals for is the most goals per game since 1995-96 Pittsburgh. And that same year was the last time Florida won a playoff series. So that's how long it's been. So you have 430 goal scorers. You pick up Thornton, which gives you a bit of a Cinderella Bork type of story. And then they pick up Giroux, over a point a game since they picked him up. Now, this team is deep in scoring. If you look at Knight, Bobrovsky, solid deep. They don't have to have unbelievable goaltending. They just need good goaltending because they're going to put up 3.5 to 4 goals a game. Maybe it's not as high. They have it all going for them. The fans are excited. I think their scoring depth, they're looking real good. They're looking real good.
Having those veterans on a team that have never won a cup, Joe Thornton on the one hand, Claude Giroux on the other hand, does that make everybody else play that much harder to give them a well-deserved cup?
If you look back to Joe Sakic and Bork, when Bork went to Colorado, he won in his second year after 22 years. If you think it wasn't special, watch how Sakic passed the Stanley Cup to Bork. It does give you a little bit extra. And Thornton talked about this, how exciting. And Giroux's taking a run at the cup. Not only those two, a lot of other guys are taking a run at the cup too. So this is exciting. I mean, you got Barkov leading the way, Huberto up for MVP in the league. I mean, Duclair, where's he come from? All of a sudden, he's got 30 goals. This team is deep. They're fast. They're excited. They're going to be tough to stop in this series.
As goes the role of the favorite, it's clear-cut. Obviously, our good friends over at Unibet have Florida as a huge favorite in the East as well. The odds currently are 1 to 6.5 for a Stanley Cup win for the Panthers. The odds to win the East even lower, 1 to 3.23. So they're the heavy favorite, and they're going to go against Washington, the 8th seed in the conference. Make the case for the Capitals.
Well, you know, this is also the biggest spread, 122 points to 100. This is the biggest spread of all the games, for point-wise. Well, let's take a look at Washington. How are they going to try to get this done? First of all, they lose the last four, rolling into the playoffs. I know three were without Ovechkin. He's beat up. He's got a sore shoulder. The shoulder's a tough injury. If he's not healthy, they're in big trouble. So let's say he's ready to go. Boom. So their power play is going to have to come up big. They're going to play a heavy game. They're going to try to hit, finish checks, play a little bit on the edge. They call a little bit less in the playoffs. So Wilson and company, they're going to be a little dirty, trash-talking, in your face. It's going to be a heavy, heavy game, and they're going to try to slow down by a defensive, tough game. That's going to be their opportunity, and the power play has to click. Don't forget, during the season, 5-4, Caps won 4-3, Florida won 5-4. I mean, we had overtime. Every game was close. I don't think they're going to be a sweep. If Ovi's healthy, I think the Caps are going to get a game or two. But I don't think they're going to be able to beat Florida.
As with every series, everybody, of course, is looking at the people between the pipes, the goaltenders, who are even more important during the playoff time than in the regular season. And that's why Reinhard Dieves did some analysis on all the goaltending matchups. The first one we're going to listen into, of course, is with this series, Florida against Washington. This is what Reinhard Dieves had to say about the goaltending situation.
Florida gegen Washington. Mein Tipp sind die Florida Panthers. Bobrovsky und Knight, gute Torhüter. Bobrovsky auch heuer, Gott sei Dank, wieder gut gespielt, was sie in den letzten zwei Jahren nicht gehabt haben. Washington hat zwei talentierte Torhüter, mehr auch nicht. Da kommt noch zu wenig, damit sie eine Serie gegen eine so offensiv starke Mannschaft, die auch mannschaftlich geschlossen spielt, gewinnen können. Drum glaube ich, dass hier die Florida Panthers die Serie recht schnell beenden werden.
Interesting that he said with Florida, they're good goaltenders. He didn't say great. And he said the Washington Capitals goaltenders are talented, and that's it. Fair analysis?
Well, it's funny what we talked about 2 minutes ago. Knight and Burakovsky, if I mentioned, don't have to play great. They just got to have a solid game. They don't have to steal games because of Florida's offense. So he's right on the money. You got Vanecuk, 42 games, 2.67 goals against. It's pretty good. Samsonov, over three, 44 games, 89%. That's not good enough. If they go with Vanecuk, who seems to be the harder goalie, he's going to have to steal a couple games. So I would say Deaves is right on. They do not have to play fantastic night Tarkovsky because they don't have to. Just play a good, solid game. Be good. And that's it. Florida's going to win this. And I think Washington is going to steal a couple games.
Still, is there an X factor in the series? Something that it might come down to?
X factor will be the scoring depth of Florida. They're not going to be able to stop the scoring depth. Florida's just got too much power and speed and size. They're not a small team. If you look at Barkov leading the way, and that Giroux Thornton is a little bit of an X factor to give everybody a little bit extra.
What's your pick and how long is the series going to go?
Surprisingly, I'm going to say Washington's going to win two games. Florida is going to win in six.
Going to be an interesting series, and it's also going to be our first series over at Pulse 24 this upcoming Saturday. It's going to be Game 3 at 7 p.m. European Central Time. We're going to enjoy, hopefully, a great game. And if Washington's able to steal one on the road, one out of the first two that will be played in Florida, Game 3 could be vitally important. That's it for this series. We just tackled the number one seed in the East. Now it's time for the number one seed in the West. They got themselves a date with the Nashville Predators, which they could have avoided, but weren't able to. It's the second ever playoff meeting in the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Avalanche and the Predators. And just to back this up at the very start, the heavy favorite all year long, according to our friends at Unibet, have been the Avalanche. They were a 1-6 favorite at the start of the year. Now the odds are 1-4 for them to go all the way. Now the odds makers at Unibet say they're the biggest favorites to win a Stanley Cup. Are they for you as well?
Well, this is McKinnon's 9th year. And you saw the interview last year when he said after it was over, he said, all the scoring records and all that stuff mean S-H-I-T. So
nothing.
It means nothing. So all these superstars want McDavid, McKinnon, all they want to do is win. They're going to give up scoring races to win a cup. I mean, that's just the way it is. This team now, Landeskog looks like he's going to be a goal. And he's a real important factor because he's big. He's tough. With Kadri coming in behind him, they got some grit to go with their size and their scoring. And this team, you know, their defense have 232 points, their defense. Of course, led by Makar with 86 points. I mean, you got Rantanen, 92 points, McKinnon, 88, Kadri, 87, Makar, 86. This is a deep team. Landeskog coming back, Darcy Kuemper and Nets, he's a solid goalie. This team, I listened to something today too. He says, you know what they have to do? They're just not going to worry about it. If you lose a game, just keep playing, have some fun, enjoy the ride, don't squeeze the sticks too much. And you know what? Dangerous, dangerous team.
I think you've already laid out the case for the Avs to advance. Let's talk a little bit about the Preds. How much upset potential is there in this series?
If Saros and Nets was healthy and played like he did all year, with Duchesne having a big year, Yoshi 96 points, that's MVP and, you know, best defenseman, that's Norris trophy season. Granlund 64, Forsberg 84. Their top defense have 189 points. They're a little bit of a surprise this year, but led by Yoshi and led by Saros, they could do some damage. Don't forget, they won three games this year against Colorado. But Saros led the way. So with him being, looks like it's going to be out, it's going to be real tough. Rittich can have big games, but I don't think he can steal the series. their epic collapse last game. They're up 4-0 in Arizona. If they get 1 point, they don't play Colorado. So they lose 5-4. Maybe they want to play Colorado. Well, that's an epic collapse. So they're going, okay, guys, look, that's who we want. We want Colorado. We beat them 3 times this year. Let's do it again. Goaltending is going to have to steal something here. And Saros is a key injury.
That is indeed an interesting case that you're making. I suggest that we listen into Reinhard Divis again, who also, of course, talked about this goaltending or this matchup of goaltenders. And, of course, the focus is all on the health of Justus Saros. Reinhard Divis.
Colorado-Nashville. Schlecht für Nashville. Saros ist verletzt. Bin mir nicht sicher, ob er zurückkommen wird. Sie haben zwar mit Rittich einen guten Torhüter, aber nicht den Top-Torhüter, den man brauchen würde, um gegen Colorado zu bestehen. Colorado ist mit Kümper und Francis sehr gut aufgestellt. Zwar nicht die Top-Torhüter. Meiner Meinung nach ist Colorado von der mannschaftlichen Geschlossenheit einfach eine Nummer zu groß für Nashville.
Sounds very similar to what you said, but again, David Rittich might be able to steal one, maybe. Then again, the offensive firepower of Colorado could just be too much. As we're looking for X factors in the series of the Colorado Avalanche against the Nashville Predators, what could that be?
X factor, bigger, tougher defense this year. They got pushed around a little bit last year, losing in the second round. I believe they picked up Manson in that trade. Big, tough. Now you got Kadri, who's behaving. He's not getting suspended, scoring a bundle, and he's got some grit, and he's tough, and he's a little bit dirty. Landeskog, big, tough, both at the net, and can score. Tougher defense, Kadri, Landeskog lead the way.
Now, after everything that we discussed, it looks like a sweep. It smells like a sweep, and by golly, a lot of people would say this is a sweep. Have you got it as a 4-0 series?
No, I do not. I got to give Nashville, because of the season they had against this team, Rittich can, if it's Rittich playing, which it looks like it's going to be, because Ingram last game wasn't great, 5 goals against him, so he's probably not going to get the start. Rittich can maybe steal a game, and they're going to be in front of their home fans, and they've had a season, a bit, not a Cinderella season, but a surprise for many. Yoshi's going to lead the way. They're 96 points. That's freaking incredible. I think, don't forget, their defense also have 189 points. They're going to jump into the rush. I think they win a game, but I'm going to go Colorado in 5.
Colorado in 5, a 4-1 affair in this case. And after you've mentioned it, I thought, yeah, give credit where credit is due. I think before the season, we talked about John Hines and not if he'd get fired, but when he'd get fired, and he won or just ripped off 45 wins with the Predators and got him into the playoffs. So nice job.
Oh, very good job. And you're going to start talking about coaching. We're going to get into that pretty soon. And you can see the importance of coaching.
That's going to be vitally important for the next series. It is probably the most highly anticipated series of the A playoff series. It's the Maple Leafs against the reigning back-to-back champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who also have the longest tenured coach of the entire National Hockey League on their bench. It's second-place team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, of the Atlantic against the third-place team. So they know themselves inside or each other inside out. But it's the first ever playoff series between those two foes. And there are so many different storylines, so many different angles. Still, I want to start with the Tampa Bay Lightning because we've been talking about them the past couple of weeks many, many times. And you always said they're exactly where they want to be. No one talks about them. They just keep putting together a couple of wins. They've got a bunch of scorers. They're deep, they're talented, and they've been built for the playoffs.
Well, nobody did talk about them. It was Colorado. It was Florida. It was this. It was Calgary. Everybody forgot about Tampa. They're tired. Didn't have enough rest. Well, let's take a look at their last 6 games. What do they got? 50 goals? Like, it's freaking unbelievable. when four or five games down the stretch scoring, you know who has the highest percentage of scoring per game now in the National Hockey League this year? Kucherov. Because of his injury, he is on a roll. Stamkos and Kucherov in April got 64 points. Like, this is freaking unbelievable. Okay, let's take a look at Toronto. Of course, a big team. Power play, 27%. Tampa, 23.9%. PK, Toronto, 82%. PK, Tampa, 80%. Goal difference, Toronto plus 62, plus 54. Goals against, 307, 278. Campbell in nets, great start. Then he was real bad in the middle. Then he got hurt. His last nine games, 7-0-2. Vasilevsky, 5-4-1. Similar save percentage. 5-on-5 goals per game, 60 minutes. Toronto, 2.34. That's big. 2.38 Tampa. This is a matchup. This is a real tight matchup.
Make the case for the Toronto Maple Leafs. What has to go right for them to advance to the second round?
Marner Matthews cannot get one goal in the series like they did last year. They have to come up big. They're deep in the scoring. I know Nylander's going to follow, and I understand all that, and Tavares. Matthews, Marner have to come up big. They got 203 points this year together. Campbell, here's an interesting stat. Since December, Toronto was a top five team. Bottom five team in goaltending. So what that means is Campbell doesn't have to steal games. He's got to play like Florida. He's just got to play a good game because the scoring power of Toronto can be big. So he just got to play steady. And that's going to be interesting. But who's he up against? It's Campbell, Gagan, Vasilevsky. So we're talking Stamkos, Kucherov, firepower against Matthews, Marner. This is going to be exciting. Down the stretch in April, how important is the power play? It's big, right? I know Matthews missed a couple games down the stretch. In April, Toronto's power play was 17%. Do you know what the power play was down the stretch for Tampa? 33%. And you know an X factor for me? I'm going to throw an X factor. Corey Perry. He's a playoff guy. He's got 19 goals after not scoring, I think, in his first 20. He's playoff. How good was he last year in Montreal? He was a key factor. He's going to be on that second PP or they'll move him up. He's net front. He's going to be tough. He's also a net factor, a guy like Corey Perry.
I think you've already made the case for the Maple Leafs and also a little bit for the Lightning. You've already given me your X factor for the series. But the goaltenders and people who've watched the Heritage Classic, the broadcast on Pulse 24, have heard a little bit about or a little bit of what Rodney Davis is going to say about Jack Campbell. Because obviously you two share the very same sentiment as regards the goaltending matchup in this series. We're going to listen into Rodney Davis' statement and then we're going to talk about it.
Toronto, Tampa Bay. Ich glaube nicht, dass die Tampa Bay Lightning das dritte Mal hintereinander den Stanley Cup gewinnen werden. Trotzdem glaube ich, dass sie diese Serie gewinnen. Der einfache Grund ist Vasilevsky. Campbell, hat man schon öfter von mir gehört, für mich nicht der Torhüter, mit dem er den Stanley Cup gewinnt. Auch wenn die Mannschaft der Leafs sehr, sehr gut aufgestellt ist, offensiv unglaublich stark. Aber da werden die Tampa Bay Lightnings eine Lösung finden, damit sie die Offensive auf ein Minimum reduzieren können. Und darum bin ich davon überzeugt, dass die Lightnings diese Serie gewinnen werden.
Jack Campbell, not a Stanley Cup winning goaltender in Reinis regards. And interestingly enough, he said he thinks Tampa's not gonna make the three-peat happen. How likely, in your estimation, is that three-peat?
It's likely. And I'm gonna tell you why. There's no pressure on Tampa. There's no pressure. In this series, Toronto, you can't walk down the street in Toronto, believe me. 17 years, haven't won a series. This is huge. That first game is gonna be mega. Firepower against firepower. Campbell knows he's got to put good. Tampa has no pressure. That plays into, they won two cups in a row. They're not beat up. They played okay coming down the stretch, and they got hot towards the end. Now they're excited. X factor, I agree with Davis. Vasilevskiy is a playoff goalie, obviously. And they're going to pick up their game. So the two X factors for me, I mentioned one, Corey Perry, and I mentioned the other one is going to be Hedman. He's going to be looking at 27 to 30 minutes a game. He's going to be unbelievable in the series. And do you want my pick? I'm going Tampa in six.
Tampa in six. So another first-round exit, obviously, on the horizon for Maple Leafs fans. If that is the case, do they have to blow it up?
No, but they have to get one of the top four gone. $40 million for four players. One has to go. And it's not going to be Marner, and it's not going to be Matthews.
If we're talking about greatness, potential greatness of series, which one are you most looking or more looking forward to? Toronto against Tampa or Minnesota against St. Louis?
Well, they've all got some flair to them, all the series. But I tell you what, if you look at the Wild against St. Louis, they don't love each other. This is a big rival. And in that series, I'm going to tell you what, this is coming down to home ice advantage. And this is going to be one freaking battle. Toronto-Tampa is not going to be that kind of series. This is going to be freaking fast. There's an awful lot of star power in Toronto-Tampa. On the other side, can you imagine if Toronto slips through this? The pressure off their back? Cinderella story like St. Louis, this could be it. But I think Tampa is really excited. It's been 40 years since a team has had a three-peat. So don't think they're not excited about the opportunity. Have no pressure. This is going to be one great series.
The fourth series that we're going to talk about is, as aforementioned, the Minnesota Wild against the St. Louis Blues. The third time that this series between those two foes is happening. It's the second of the Central Division against the third. They played 82 games, and at the very end were only separated by 2 points. But, and that is the most interesting aspect of the series, the Blues have had the Wild's number for a considerable time now. The last 16 games between those two, out of those 16, 13 were won by St. Louis. What does that do to Minnesota's heads?
You can't be living in the past. It's time for a change. They made a couple of real smart moves. Were they both 15 wins in the last 20, both teams? I think 12-2 the last 14. I mean, talk about two teams rolling into this. How many 20 goal scorers are in St. Louis? Nine? They have 9 20 goal scorers. That is freaking unbelievable. Last 20 games, who's the hottest scorer? Tarasenko, 14. How did Kaprizov and Fiala do in those games? 13 each. This is a matchup. This is big. League best goaltending 5-on-5 is the Wild. This is exciting. This is tough.
Make the case for Minnesota advancing to round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay, health. Health is a big one. You know, getting in behind the scenes, reading what I can, finding what you can, as you do. Spurgeon, Dumba, Zuccarello. Minor injuries. They have a little bit of pains and aches. Are they ready to go? That's going to be a big key. The pickup of Nick Delorier was a big one because he's big, he's good, and he's tough. He needs that toughness for the playoffs against him. That's a big one. And X factor, picking up Marc-Andre Fleury. This is freaking huge because since Fleury came, Talbot's been even better. He's had a great year. He's been pushed by Fleury in a positive way. Goaltending is huge. Key factor. Kaprizov is going to be freaking unbelievable in the series. And goaltending, Fleury and Talbot are on a roll.
Now make the case for the St. Louis Blues, Stanley Cup champion of 2018-19.
Okay, depth scoring. Okay, 9 goals. Okay, they can score. Thomas is playing great right now. Not many people talking about this kid. He's not very old, but this guy's a player. O'Reilly leads the way. Okay, so now, Binnington, how did he do down the stretch? Freaking unbelievable. He got hot down the stretch. but 3.13 in the season. So Binghamton's hot right now. I believe he won his last five. Do you have that too? I think he won his last five games. So who's so solid? Do you go with Binghamton because he's been there, won the cup, Cinderella story, he was the reason they won? I believe they're going to start him because of what he did, and he's finished well. So depth scoring, led by Tarasenko, obviously, depth scoring and goaltending Binghamton. If he can kind of find that form and that mojo he had a couple of years ago, they could be dangerous.
St. Louis power play has been great all year long. They're scoring at almost 27% on their power play. Are they maybe a little too dependent on the man advantage? What happens if the Wild take this away?
Well, don't forget, since the deadline, the second most 5-on-5 goals is who? The Wild. So how many power plays are you going to get in the playoffs? I mean, they don't call as much. I mean, but the power play for these teams are that close. Of course, it's so important. You're going to look at goaltending, obviously. You're going to look at special teams, obviously. And you're going to look at the health. The power play is important, but 5-on-5, the Wild are really strong. So this is a matchup. This is going to be in-your-face hockey. This is not going to be for the faint of heart. So you better bring a lot of band-aids to these games, folks, because this is going to be one tough series, and these teams do not like each other.
I have to say, this is probably my favorite series of all the eight, also because there's so much drama going to be involved as regards to goaltenders. Potentially, something that Reini also alluded to, especially regarding his former team's goaltending situation. We're going to listen to what he said as regards goalkeepers in the Minnesota-St. Louis series.
Minnesota-St. Louis, Talbot, Fleury und Binnington, Husso. Eines der spannendsten Matchups in den Playoffs, was die Torhüter betrifft. Beide Mannschaften schaue ich sehr gerne zu. Ich würde sagen, in der Mannschaft haben die St. Louis Blues ein bisschen den Vorteil. Ich tippe aber trotzdem auf Minnesota und ganz einfach, weil ich die Torhüter besser sehe. Mit Talbot und Fleury haben sie ja exzellentes gespannt, die sich gut ergänzen. Ich glaube, dass Talbot beginnen wird, weil er auch die Saison in Minnesota begonnen hat, aber er kann sich die volle Unterstützung von Fleury sicher sein. Und bei St. Louis war eben die Torhüterposition ein bisschen ein Problem, aber nicht, weil sie schlecht gespielt haben. Wille Husso war sehr gut, aber eben besser als Binnington. Und ich habe jetzt den Eindruck gehabt, dass sie gegen Ende der Saison forciert haben, dass Binnington wieder in Form kommt und mit ihm in die Playoffs starten werden. Und das ist meines Erachtens ein Fehler. Darum sehe ich Minnesota da im Vorteil.
Interesting stuff from Rainer Dives, who probably knows a lot more about goaltending than everyone else in Austria and probably Europe. He said it'd be a mistake to start with Binnington, and he expects Talbot to start. If you were the head coach of the Wild and the Blues, what would your call be?
Talbot. I would start Talbot. Because, you know, they're going to have Fleury backing him up. If he has an off game, boom, Fleury's in. That's not a problem. This is big. Having Fleury on the bench is huge. The reason I say Binghamton starter, Husso, he's played good down the stretch the last five games. And can he find the mojo that he had a couple years ago? They can always make a change if they have to. I think starting Binghamton, because he's been there, he's going to want it. It's going to be an interesting matchup. X factor for me, Kaprizov is going to be freaking unbelievable in this series.
Hopefully it's going to be a long one that's keeping us entertained. What do you expect from this series? How long will it be? And who do you pick to win it all?
Well, it can't get any longer than what I'm going to say. And it's going to go seven games. And home ice advantage is going to be rocking in Minnesota, the Wild in seven, and maybe into overtime.
That'd be indeed tremendous. Another tremendous series awaits us again in the East. It's the number one team in the Metro, the Carolina Hurricanes, that face the Boston Bruins. The first wildcard team in the East. It's the fifth playoff meeting between Carolina and Boston, if you count the Hartford Whalers as well. It's the seventh time those two franchises go against each other. Is Carolina not the ultimate, but one of the under-the-radar teams in the playoffs, even though they won a division?
I'm going to tell you what. I got Boston at six. I got the Canes in seven. This is freaking an unbelievable matchup for lots of reasons. And this is going to be one tough series. I mean, the Canes, like 116 points. But don't forget Boston won down the stretch, 17 of the last 25. They went 0-39 on the power play till they scored last Thursday. So they had all those wins with not very good power play at all. So PP, of course. Now, Anderson, is he going to play? That's going to be a big one. This guy was unbelievable. They won the Jennings Trophy. Ranta Anderson, the fewest goals in the league. So Ranta is still a pretty good goalie, 15-5-4, 2.45, all over 91%. Looks like he's going to get the start. Anderson played fantastic this year. But this team is fast. Aho's a top scorer at 81 points. It's not like they have McDavid with 125 or whatever. They have some speed and depth scoring, and they're going to come at you hard. They're fired up. Goaltending's a key. So, you know, they scored 278 goals, 202 against. That's unbelievable. But Anderson also played a big role in that. So goaltending's important. Special teams, obviously. This series is a tough one to pick. I really tell you, it's a tough one to pick.
But let's remain with the Hurricanes. You've laid out so many great things about them, but could it eventually be an advantage that Anderson is missing some time because it lets the team rally around the backup goaltender?
Oh, no, and Ranta can play. There's not a doubt about that. So the team can rally around him. I mean, they're fired up. They are a really fast team. They're going to be faster than Boston from head to toe. So their speed and their net drive and their coach is full of emotion and passion. So this team is going to be full of excitement.
Make the case for the Boston Bruins to win this one.
Omar Swayman. Both goalies had a pretty good year. After Rask left, he tried to come back. It didn't work. The power play was in a drought, a mega drought. That has to be clicking. Holla, Pasternak, Hall. The second line has been playing great. So now they have two lines that can score. Can the Canes stop the second line? Now, DeBrusk fit in on the first line big time. They're going to be their defensive structure. They are going to try to smother these guys, time and space, playing physical. I mean, Marshall's going to be yapping at lots of players. There's going to be some trash talking. They're going to try to get the Canes off the game by playing tough defense, playing a heavy game, finishing their hits. It's going to be interesting.
Now, if we look back 11 years ago, the last time the Boston Bruins won a Stanley Cup, they've been to the Cup Finals 3 years ago. Obviously, that nucleus started to crumble a little bit. No Sedin Chara, Tuukka Rask retired this year. But with Marchand, with Bergeron, a couple of pieces still in place, how long do you think Boston will be able to play or to compete within the division and compete in the playoffs?
3 years. After this, they got three more years. Okay? Similar to another team we'll talk about after. Bergeron is an unrestricted free agent. Is he maybe going to go to Montreal to finish his career? From what I understand, he'd love to stay in Boston. He's been underpaid for the last several years. I mean, the guy's one of the best defensive players there is, best team leaders, and he's got 400 goals.
And he could be winning his fifth Selke, which would yes. give him the record because he's tied for it with four wins now.
What a player. What an underrated player. I mean, everybody talks about, you know, the players fit Crosby as the best all-around player this year, too, ahead of McDavid. So it's really interesting. Is he going to stay in Boston? You'd have to kind of think he would really like to. But the key factor for this team to win the series, their power play, which has to get hot. Because it has not been hot. And if it's not hot, they're going to go out of the series pretty quick.
And a lot of people would argue that another key factor, of course, is the personnel between the pipes. Rodney Deves looked at those people as well. Here is what he had to say about the goaltending situation in the Carolina Hurricanes-Boston Bruins series.
Carolina Hurricanes, Boston Bruins, eine spannende Serie für mich. Carolina ist für mich eigentlich ein Favorit, ja, nicht unbedingt am Stanley Cup, aber dass sie recht weit kommen können, aber nur mit Freddy Andersen im Tor. Der ist jetzt leider verletzt, spielt seit 2 Wochen nicht. Sie haben zwar mit Ranta einen Torhüter, der ihn sehr gut ersetzt und auch meiner Meinung nach weiter gut ersetzen wird. Ob es aber ausreicht, recht weit zu kommen, traue ich mir jetzt nicht sagen. Auf der anderen Seite hast du mit in Boston mit Swayman und Ullmark 2 Torhüter, die sehr gut gespielt haben. Swayman hat alle überrascht. Man hat ihm keiner auf der Rechnung gehabt. Eigentlich hätte Ullmark die Nummer 1 sein sollen. Swayman hat sie ihm weggenommen. Swayman für mich auch ein Kandidat für den Rookie of the Year. Für die Rookie of the Year Trophäe. Sehr spannende Serie, da traue ich mir keine Prognose abgeben, wobei ich sagen muss, dass ich mir eher wünschen würde, wenn die Carolina Hurricanes gewinnen.
It's interesting that Reine doesn't want to make a pick because he's not certain he'll make it. Another interesting thing is that Carolina is always gonna or only gonna make a deep playoff run with Freddy Andersen, and he thinks that Swayman could surprise a lot of people during the playoffs. And we've always been talking about it on the air, off the air. It's basically about which goaltender gets hot at the right time. You think Swayman could just step into the shoes of a Jordan Binnington of the 18-19 season, get hot at the exact right time and take his team all the way?
Or Patrick Waugh or Ken Dryden, rookies that came in and played great. Well, it's funny what Deves just said, because what did I mention to you at the beginning? I've got Boston at 6, I've got the Canes in 7. So this is really a toss-up, and he is absolutely right. If Andersen plays and he's on his game, Carolina's going to win the series and can go far. But if Andersen is not playing, Boston's going to win the series. I think Boston at 6. If Andersen's playing, the Canes win in 7.
All right, I'll jot that down for you as you are also obliged to fill out the bracket challenge. Everybody who listens to this now and hasn't filled out his bracket yet, he or she can do that by just typing in nhl.com/pulse24. That's nhl.com/pulse24. And that leads you to the bracket challenge where you can compete against Greg Holst, against Reinhard Deves, against myself, even though I'm probably the worst of all when it comes to picking right outcomes. Anyhow, there are great prizes to win. Obviously, a signed stick. Greg Holst and Reinhard Deves have signed a stick that's worth well over 200 euros. We're giving away VIP tickets for games of the Ice Hockey League next year, as well as some Unibet Hockey O'Clock t-shirts. NHL.com/pulse24. That's the bracket challenge. We got our very own domain, our very own league, and you can go against all of the pundits and a lot of other people, and it's going to be great. And I'm very much looking forward to the challenge by a lot of viewers, listeners, and generally hockey fans. Some of the most exciting one of the most exciting times in all of sports, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Coach, we've tackled 5 series, 3 more to go, and the next one involves the only Austrian competing in the National Hockey League as we speak right now. It's the Calgary Flames against the Dallas Stars, the number 1 team in the Pacific against the number 1 Wild card. It's the first ever series between the Flames and the Dallas Stars. The conference finals in 81 featured the Flames against the old Minnesota North Stars. A series I don't have a real good feel for, I have to say, and that's probably because we just haven't seen the Flames all too much. Obviously, as a West Coast team, and with all the kind of East Coast bias, they're not on a lot when it's quote unquote a normal time. When you look at the series and when you look at the Calgary Flames, who've basically changed their entire identity under the reins of Daryl Sutter, what kind of team do you see?
Built for the playoffs, not only the regular season. This team is freaking talented, great goaltending, and they are tough, led by Coach Sutter. No doubt about it. If you look at Lindholm, Tkachuk, Gaudreau, they outplayed all 82 games, 100+180. That's freaking unbelievable. I mean, Tkachuk and Gaudreau have 219 points, the top line 124 goals. 10 players have 10 goals or more, so they have some scoring depth. Tkachuk is a key because he's tough and dirty and gritty and can play. And if anybody touches Gaudreau, Lucic, he's an X factor. They're going to pay the price, Lucic. They're going to, you know, Dallas is bigger. They're going to play a heavy game, but they got Lucic breathing down your neck. It's going to be, unfortunately, Jamie Benn at center ice against Lucic, but that's not Ben's job, but you know him. So this team is built for the playoffs, no doubt about it.
The interesting thing is something that our good friends at Unibet have provided me with. The Calgary Flames are the season's biggest surprise when it comes to odds. Heading into the season, their odds to win a Stanley Cup were 1 to 40. And now they've gone down to 1 to 8. Are the Flames the biggest surprise of the entire year for you as well?
Well, surprises. Islanders not making the playoff. Montreal. No, here's what happened. Gaudreau is a free agent. They were going to trade him. They didn't know what to do with him. His last two playoffs were not good. Gaudreau's last two playoffs were not up to par. They were going to trade him. They lost Giordano. What kind of? They made a great move. They picked up Blake Coleman. That was a big pickup. Once they got Gaudreau settled in, got him signed, he took off. So everything got settled down. And all of a sudden, Markstrom and Nets, 2.22, number three in the league, goals against. The team is now excited. Now, you got some grit. Everybody says Lucic is finished. He's no good. He's good. You got 10 goals, and he's big and tough. He's going to protect these guys. And Tkachuk has some bite. They're a deep team. They started to believe. And like you said, nobody really knows much about them because we don't see them. They are a Stanley Cup contender 100%.
And obviously what a guy like Blake Coleman brings to the table is not only the grit, the toughness, but two Stanley Cups that he won with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he's got that championship pedigree as well that everybody's looking for. The case for the Stars probably revolves around the first line, which they've been so dependent on the entire year.
Well, you mentioned Case. I'm not going to say suitcase. I'm not going to say suitcase just yet. They're not going on a holiday yet. Pavelski, Robertson, Hintz, 47% of the score. I mean, that's just not good. You got Ben, Sagan, Radulov, minus 21, minus 13, minus 20. Radulov, 4 goals. Just not good enough. Ben is built for the playoffs. Big, tough, Sagan. Ben, Sagan, Rad, these guys have to have huge series for them to have any chance of winning. Ottinger and Nets, he's got decent numbers. He can be steady. But if they don't get some depth scoring, they are gone. Pack your suitcases quick.
Jakob Markström against Jake Ottinger, one of the more interesting goaltender matchups in the entire playoffs. Something that Reini Divis echoes as well. Here's how he sees the goaltender matchup.
Calgary Flames, Dallas Stars. Oettinger von Dallas, sehr gute Saison, ein bisschen die Überraschung gewesen. Sie sind, haben eigentlich geglaubt, dass sie mit 2 anderen Torhütern die Saison bestreiten werden, ist aber reingekommen, hat sehr, sehr, sehr gut gespielt. Bei den Calgary Flames kommt neben der mannschaftlichen Geschlossenheit, neben dem Trainer Fuchs Sada noch dazu, dass sie mit Markstrom einen der wahrscheinlich Top 3 Torhüter in der Liga haben. Für mich Dallas hier chancenlos.
Dallas without a chance. And then again, coming from Reini Divis, he called the season Ottinger had very, very, very good. again against the top three goaltender Jakob Markström, it might get really difficult. Is there an X factor for you in this series?
Well, Oettinger, 48 games, 2.53 save, goals against, 91.4. Yeah, very good year. No, it's the scoring depth and it's the toughness. The toughness of Calgary. They're not just goal scorers. They've got grit on every line. This is one tough team led by a tough coach. He's old school, but he's not school. He's a mix. Hey guys, this team here could go all the way. This is going to be real interesting. And plus 85 goal difference. They can score. Third best goals against, built for the playoffs. Calgary wins this. You want to know in how many games?
Of course.
Dallas is going to steal one because Ben and the boys are going to have a big game. Oettinger is going to have a big game. It's Calgary in five.
So your second, Reinie's opinion, he said they've got no chance. You are penciling Calgary into advance to round two. Something that those next two teams that we're going to talk about want to do as well. It is the eighth playoff series between the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Rangers finishing second in the Metropolitan Division. The Penguins in third. We just had the distinct honor of doing commentary on the Penguins a week ago when they won convincingly against the Detroit Red Wings. I want to turn this around and want to start with the away team in this series first, with the Pittsburgh Penguins. We were talking about the nucleus of the Boston Bruins and how long they can stay competitive. Same question, just different personnel. What about the Penguins?
This is the last year for the big three. Somebody's going. Letang or Malkin will not be on this team next year. I mean, I even read about Crosby. He knows it's been 16 years. It's not going to go forever. Now, if they roll all the way and win the cup, maybe different, but it's not likely going to happen with Jerry injured. And I've been watching Letang lately. It's an interesting, he's been scoring, making great plays, but something I noticed, and I might be reading something into this, I never see him really smile and look happy. They're rolling into the playoffs, losing eight of the last 12. The team defense has been a problem. 40 shots or more against in three of the last five games. That's not playoff built. Crosby still, from the players themselves, 500 players in the NHL, they say he's the best all-around player. Well, if you look at Malkin for the contract he has, and it's not only about money, you got to perform. He's a point-a-game guy, but he plays half the games. He's injured. For them to have any kind of chance, Malkin, Crosby, those guys have to come up huge. And Jarry and Nets being injured, that's a tough one.
But if you're Penn's head coach, Mike Sullivan, is this the motivational angle that you use? Did you tell him you never know how many more chances we get with this kind of core, with Crosby, with Gino, with Chris Letang? Is that what you would say right before the playoff run starts?
Well, it's funny you say that, because back when we did win in 2006 in Fialak, I don't want to talk about my career, but the next year we made the finals again. And I said, guys, let's take care of ourselves, because you never know. We may not. How old are you? I ask every guy their age. You may never get back to the finals. Take care of this. Give it all you got. They haven't been back since. These guys, I don't think the coach has to tell them. Crosby's going to stand up and tell them, boys, this is it. Let's take care of this. Let's give this everything we've got. They've got Gensel, Russ. They've got guys who can score. If they don't clean up their defense, they're not going to have a chance, because the Rangers are, if you're talking Cinderella team here, let's take a look at them in a minute.
Well, how about in a second? Make the case for the Rangers and maybe elaborate a little bit why they're a Cinderella team.
Well, first of all, they signed Gallant, who wasn't good enough in Florida, and then he wasn't good enough in Vegas. Sorry. Coach of the year, Gallant. And I read stuff about him. You know, he doesn't dissect the player. The wins have nothing to do with him. He says the players do it. We just guide them. And what happened to this team, they're a young team. I think the top 5D, the top five, Trouba, I think he's 28. He's the oldest. Lafreniere is coming into his own. Who did they pick up at the deadline? Cobb.
Frank Petrano, one of my favorite ones.
They're both freaking scoring. And they're trying to sign copies. That good. Kreider got 50 goals. But what happened here, Shesterkin played fantastic in the first half. He got them. He was the MVP of the league. But all of a sudden, the team got better. So the goalie became average because he didn't have to play fantastic. The team got better. All these young players got better. So this team right now, 2.49 goals against, that's pretty freaking good. Only second to the Canes. This team is exciting. And you know what? Madison Square Garden is going to be hopping. Led by Shesterkin, 2.07 goals against, 9.35. That's fantastic. Young team, excited with a great goaltender. Look out for New York.
When we talk about the goalie situation, we, of course, have to hear from Reinie Devius. Here is his assessment of the series between the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
New York Rangers, Pittsburgh Penguins. Mein Tipp sind hier die Rangers. Shesterkin, wahrscheinlich der beste Torhüter aktuell in der Liga. Pittsburgh Penguins haben jetzt ein bisschen Pech gehabt, dass sich Jarry verletzt hat, hat jetzt die letzten zwei Wochen nicht gespielt, bin mir auch nicht sicher, dass er im Playoff zurückkommt. Dann kommt dazu, dass eben Crosby, Malkin, Letang, also das Dreigestirn sozusagen der Pittsburgh Penguins zwar eine gute Saison gehabt haben, aber nicht mehr so dominieren wie in der Vergangenheit. Die Rangers spielen mannschaftlich sehr geschlossen und haben den besseren Torhüter. Darum werden meines Erachtens die Rangers die Serie gewinnen.
Before I'm going to make your pick, is there an X-Factor for you in this series?
Well, X-Factor, the X-Factor for Pittsburgh would be this. The Smith has to steal a couple games, which he can do. We've seen it. And then he can have a little bit off, but he can steal games. The whole team, all those young players that are in that room, they have to play for Letang, Crosby, and Malkin. That's going to be their motivation to play for the big three, because that big three has three Stanley Cups. They've done an unbelievable job in Pittsburgh. If it wasn't for Crosby getting picked, Pittsburgh probably wouldn't even have had a team. So I think they have to rally around the team. The city has to rally around the big three, because this is the last time I feel they're going to be together. That's the X factor for Pittsburgh. X factor for New York, led by Shesterkin. They're big, bigger than you think. They're a big, strong, young team. The pickup for Toronto Cop is big. Kreider 50 goals. But with that goaltender, all I have to do is get three goals on the board. I cannot see Pittsburgh scoring four every game against Shesterkin.
Going to put you on the spot. Who's going to advance here?
It's not on the spot. It's going to go six. New York Rangers in six.
On to the last series. And as we talked about the Rangers and the Penguins and them facing for an eighth time, I thought this among the this year's playoff field, this would be the series that have been played most often. But it's tied with the Kings and the Oilers. They are going to go against each other for an eighth time as well. Edmonton having home ice. They're the number two team in the Pacific, facing the surprise LA Kings as the number three team in the Pacific. And there's so much going on in that series. Might also be a series where a lot of European viewers wake up to, because all the games are starting at 4 in the morning Central European time. So if it goes to overtime, you might catch a little bit of the series on your way to work or your commute or whatever. And we're going to start with the Oilers. Tremendous offensive team. Defense has always been the problem. Goaltending has been questionable. Still, make the case for them going on another round.
It started with the coaching change. Jay Woodcroft, he comes in. The team started great. Then they had a bad phase, and then they were a mess. I mean, they lost at home 7-1, I believe, it was to Ottawa, and McDavid just didn't have any answers. He just Yeah, Draisaitl headbutting with the reporters. Woodcroft comes in. So I read about what he changed. Of course, it was towards the defense. What he changed with this team, because you know they can score. We all know they can score. Who were two great pickups? Hyman, coming from Toronto, got 27 goals, did his job. Of course, they pick up King, 22 goals, 39 points, 43 games. Okay, what did he change? He said, we're getting scored. First of all, him and the coaching staff came in and said, look, we're happy to be here. We want to help you guys. We've noticed some stuff. Everybody was on board. So they're not coming in the big heroes. He said, we're getting scored on off the rush all the time. So they changed their defense by tightening up their neutral zone play. And it wasn't the forwards or it wasn't the D, it was all five. So that collective five in the offense or defense, they started blocking up, taking time and space in the neutral zone, slowing teams down. So all of a sudden, Mr. Smith in Nets, who struggled, he's 9-0 his last nine games, 1.66, 95% save percentage, and they can score. So they changed the defense, right? They tightened up their D. You're always going to be able to score with this team. Picking up Kane, who's blossomed now into a great player. They want to re-sign him. Picking up Hyman. This team cost it or not. They got two good goalies now. And wow, the coaching change turned this team around, and they are now dangerous. Not only for the first round, they are dangerous, period.
And a coaching change from Dave Tippett to Jay Woodcroft also shows as regards the win percentages. Tippett winning 55% of his games. Woodcroft, an incredible 72% of his games where he's getting 72.4% of the points that are on the table. So this is really impressive. Obviously, everything according to the stats from Unibet. Make the case for the Los Angeles Kings, a team not a lot of people did pick for the playoffs before the start of the year.
Okay. Edmonton's heavily favored in this thing. Quick has now found his game again. He's healthy. He has his energy. He has his movements. He's now a top freaking goalie again. That is obviously number one. You've got Kopitar, and they picked up Philip Daniel from Montreal, who did he shut down last year in the first round? Marner. Matthews, next round, he shut the next superstars down. But he's also their second top scorer, 27. But Kopitar is also known to be a really good defensive player. So they're going to match up against McDavid, Draisaitl, Daniel, or the Kopitar. They're going to try to shut these guys down as they've done before. Going to be very, very interesting. They're going to play. They're not a big scoring team. So it's going to be about defense, trying to put three on the board. Can Kopitar or Daniel and their tough defense, even without Doughty, can they shut down the Stars?
And of course, the LA Kings have something and someone to be playing for as well, because Dustin Brown already announced that it's going to be his last year. He's going to retire at the end of this run. Incredible run for himself. Personally, he just concluded his 1,296th regular season game, and is going to go on another playoff run, runs that have already netted him two Stanley Cups. He's going to go for a third. The goaltending matchup between those two teams, we're assuming that Mike Smith and Jonathan Quick get the starts, is an interesting one, because the combined age of those two sits at 76 years old. By far the oldest two goaltenders going against each other in this Stanley Cup playoffs, or these Stanley Cup playoffs. And we just hear from Randy Davis what he has to say about Smith versus Quick.
Edmonton Oilers, LA Kings. Ich sehe die LA Kings hier als Sieger vom S gehen. Quick, eine sehr gute Saison, hat auch heuer genug Pausen bekommen, weil Peterson sehr gut war. Edmonton redet man schon seit Jahren, wenn sie eine Position verstärken müssen, dann sind es die Torhüter. Das haben sie wieder nicht gemacht und ich glaube auch, dass ihnen das am Ende den Sieg in dieser Serie kosten wird und sie wieder nicht um den Stanley Cup mitspielen. Dann kommt noch dazu, dass der Trainer der LA Kings, McLennan, bei den Edmonton Oilers war und er wird alles daran setzen, diese Serie zu gewinnen.
Interesting, some upset potential if you want to believe the words of Reini Dievis, and you should do that because he's right more often than not. Is there an X factor in this series?
Well, interesting that he said that because Quick is 6-1 down the stretch. He's playing as good as he has, so he's got them in there. Kempe's had a big year. Byfield is big, strong, young guy, fourth line center. So they have some size. Key factor, Quick in nets, Kopitar, Daniel shutting down the big boys. That's the X factor is Quick and Daniel or Kopitar shutting them down. Here's why I feel, do you know that during the season, they were 0-10. Edmonton was 0-10 on the power play against the Kings. That's going to change. I think picking up Hyman was big. Really important pickup. Gritty and can score. And Kane, obviously, is big, strong, and he's fitting in. So it gives them two lines of depth, maybe three score. I think Mike Smith's on a roll. I think Edmonton right now, one of the hottest teams going in. I think they're 14-3, their last 17. McDavid, it's a 7 years no cup. I think Crosby, it took Gretzky 5, it took Crosby 4, or whatever those stats are. This is his 7th. He's on a mission. Key factor, McDavid, you're not going to be able to stop this guy.
So you're going to pick Edmonton here?
I'm going Edmonton in 5.
And don't forget, one of the ultimate X factors, and we saw it 3 years ago, where the entire team of St. Louis rallied around a cancer-stricken young girl. And this time around in Edmonton, there is young Ben Stelter. He's been cancer-stricken as well, and the whole team has rallied around him. And every time I think he visited an Oilers game, they won the game. So watch out for that X factor brought to you by me personally. One last thing, when we look a little bit further ahead as regards the continuation of the Stanley Cup playoffs, your favorite, and this comes out of nowhere, I know, but I've got some nice numbers to talk about you or with you about them a little later. Your favorite for the Conn Smythe Trophy, which is annually awarded to the most valuable player in the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Well, I think they had McDavid at number one, but well, the Conn Smythe, I mean, who's going to go all the way? That's the key. Some people have McKinnon because it's his time. Can you imagine Calgary when they play against Edmonton? If it does happen, it's going to be freaking unbelievable. Sorry to get offline. The Conn Smythe is probably going to be a goaltender that's going to steal the show like Price did last year.
Because the three favorites, as it stands right now, according to the great people over at Unibet, are McKinnon at 1-10 odds, Makar at 1-14, and Huberdeau at 1-16. Interestingly enough, two players from the Avalanche, no goaltender within the top three.
I would take, I think Shesterkin, you could throw him in there because Rangers could be real dangerous. And how can you not throw McDavid in there? They get through this first series, the piano's off the back. It's like Toronto. Look out. If they get through this series, which they will, these guys are freed up. And look out, this is going to be exciting hockey.
Some outside shots or betting potential for all those people who want to do that. Leon Draisaitl, 1-51 odds to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. If Edmonton goes on a run, he might just be the player no one really thinks about, but might have equally or an even bigger impact than McDavid, because they've gone back and forth all year long.
Well, there's no doubt about that. But if you what Draisaitl, he's a great passer, underrated passer, but what he does, and he's set up usually by McDavid, I mean, he's scoring from outside the dot in between the goal line, down on one knee. It's freaking incredible. So he's that pure goal scorer. It's fantastic. But if you watch McDavid when he's on his game, the highlight reel goals one after the other, and he's become a complete player now. So you got to get McDavid in that conversation. I mean, MacKinnon, of course, he's in there. I understand that. Makar too. But MacKinnon, he's still a little beat up injury-wise. And it's been 9 years. Maybe this is his year. We will soon see.
So many great storylines, so many great topics to be talking about. Can't wait for the games finally to start. And that first playoff game day to me is always like some kind of national holiday. It's my probably second favorite sports day of the year, just after that one, or a sports, well, time of the year after the divisional playoffs in the National Football League. There's nothing better than the first day that finally nets us some Stanley Cup playoff hockey. Describe to people who've never seen it, and we know everything that happens in the regular season is important, and you gotta cut it down from 32 teams to 16 teams. But what happens in between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs to the style of hockey that's being played?
Everybody's dream is to win the Stanley Cup. 16 games you have to win, could possibly be 28 games for a team after playing 82. So it's physically and mentally. It gets, the referees call less. The hits are tougher. You have less room. Hate's the wrong word, but the rivalries get intensified. They do not like each other. And you understand. You get into overtime. It's not 3-on-3. You're playing till somebody scores a goal. It could be 3, 4, 5 overtimes. And you got to win 4 games. And the longer the series go, they know it gets more emotional. And when you lose 4, you're going home. And it's exciting.
It's so simple. And then again, so complicated for a lot of teams. It is the most coveted trophy in all of team sports. We'll be there along the way. On Saturday, we're going to broadcast Game 3 of the Panthers and the Washington Capitals. Very much looking forward to it. Thank you so much for elaborating and obviously educating everybody about the Stanley Cup playoffs, about the 8 great series that we're about to see. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. Thank you so much for doing this.
Martin, thank you. And let it begin. It's going to be fun.
Exzellente Unterhaltung mit dem schönsten Sport der Welt. Unibet Hockey O'Clock.